Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Fan Friday with Jay and Mickey. Morning to you, gents.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, boys.
There we go. Got them both on board. We'll start with you, Mickey. So Wayne Rooney back with a bit of a bang and maybe harking back to echoes of his first Premier League goal when he scored against Arsenal in 2002 with that goal he scored against Gor Mahia in the win in Tanzania yesterday.
Yes, but prodigal son returns, doesn't he? And it was a bit like deja vu, albeit slightly different opposition, wasn't it? But that's Wayne Rooney, isn't it? You know, whether you say that, you know, obviously he's going to have the impact as he did 13 years ago, you know, which is very, very doubtful. But that's what he can do. That's what he brings, is quality. He's been doing it for the past, you know, 14, 15 years, hasn't he? And not only that, obviously, look at the media frenzy as well that it's caused. It was up on the news, wasn't it? It was the first subject on the news. I think second came the fact that Manchester City signed a £50 million fullback. So it's putting us on the map, certainly. And, you know, I know the saying is that sometimes they say, you know, no player is bigger than the club. But I think the Wayne Rooney brand is certainly putting us out there. And, you know, long may it continue.
Yeah, I thought it was a great goal. I thought it was really funny the way there was a pitch invader as well, wearing a Manchester United shirt that was the first to get him and give him a cuddle. Clearly someone who wasn't too bothered about supporting either Manchester United or Everton, just wanted to get his hands around Wayne Rooney. But such, I suppose, is the stature of the guy himself.
Well, this is it. You know, he's known throughout the world, isn't he? And, you know, as I say, you know, if you look at it, United are probably, you know, the worldwide support. They are up there with the biggest. And I think he got a hug, but I think he was quickly escorted, wasn't he, by about 15 armed guards off the pitch. So, you know, security has got to be tight in places like that. But as I say, that's what Wayne Rooney brings to the party.
We'll talk Gylfi Sigurdsson in a moment. Let's get on to Liverpool, first of all. I can't work out which of the reports on Naby Keita is correct or not, because everyone seems to have a different line about him at the moment, Jay. So the Times this morning saying Liverpool will return for an improved bid for Keita, with RB Leipzig saying he's not for sale. Apparently they've already rejected a £57 million bid that was made last week. Keita could consider pushing for a move himself. You've got a different paper saying Liverpool have been told that not even a bid of £100 million would tempt RB Leipzig to sell Naby Keita. So what's the situation? What's your understanding of it?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I've always felt it's going to be a difficult deal to get over the line because, you know, for obvious reasons, they don't really need the money. They're a Champions League team, aren't they? I mean, it's been well documented that, you know, Van Dijk's the one that Liverpool, he's been priority this summer. And, you know, we all know the problems that have gone on there with Southampton. But I do believe now the clubs are actually in dialogue to try and sort a deal out for Van Dijk to Liverpool. But regards Keita, I mean, you know, it's going to be tough, isn't it? Because, you know, like I say, they don't need the money. And as you've just said there, they're going on about maybe even £100 million won't be enough. But I get the feeling that, you know, Klopp really wants this lad now. And, you know, to offer £57 million, I mean, it shows that Liverpool do mean business. And if we go back with a little bit more of an improved offer, I think we'll get this deal over the line, Steve.
You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I think maybe if we up it to about £65 million, I think that'll be a deal that, you know, that'll get done. It's going to be tough, but I think Liverpool, it's obvious that Klopp really wants him. He seemed really relaxed, didn't he, after the Tranmere game, the friendly in midweek. And I think, you know, he knows himself that there's work going on behind the scenes and they want to bring these players to this football club.
Did you get the sense that he was convinced by what the hierarchy are doing? He's got a lot of faith in them. Or do you think secretly behind sort of closed doors, he's a little bit frustrated with the way things have sort of stumbled along?
It's a difficult one to assess, isn't it? Because he always seems like a happy type of character, doesn't he, Klopp? But I think he seemed a bit excited to me. And, you know, he couldn't really say too much. He did say, didn't he, you know, if I say something here, you know, it'll be out of turn and I could say the wrong thing. But he seemed to me like he was very excited by things going on that's, you know, going on in the background. And he'll know more than anyone else, won't he, what's going on. You know, we've been back in pre-season training for a week now. He'll have been having talks with them. So he knows, he'll be fully aware of what's going on behind the scenes. And I think Liverpool are going to get these two deals done.
He just wants all his toys and he wants to be able to play with them, particularly ahead of a Champions League qualifier.
Well, yeah, that's the only little issue I've got with it. I mean, you know, he said at the end of the season, didn't he, that, you know, a lot of the negotiations are done now. His part to it was done. He'd convinced these players that their future was at Liverpool. So it was basically up to the Suits and FSG to get these deals sorted in terms of writing the cheques and, you know, negotiating the deals with the other clubs. And it seems that we've had problems with it. But I suppose when you're trying to negotiate deals of the sums of money that we're talking, you know, in excess of £60 million for a couple of players, these deals aren't easy to make, are they? So, you know, Liverpool are not used to this type of stuff. You know, record signing for Liverpool was Andy Carroll, £35 million. It stood for 6 years, something like that. And then we got Salah, didn't we, for, what, £37 million. So Liverpool are not used to these massive transfer deals. But I think, you know, progress has been made.
Well, Everton are going to break Liverpool's record transfer by the look of this, because they're close by all accounts. We had Tony Scott on earlier saying he felt it was 48 hours away. They're close, Mickey, to a £40+ million bid being accepted for Swansea's Gylfie Sigurdsson. It's an awful lot of money for him.
It's mental, Steve. You know, the prices that are going round at the moment, the amount of money being spent is ludicrous. But unfortunately, if you want your player, then you're going to have to pay it, because if we don't, you know, Leicester will. They've already had a £40 million rejected. And, you know, no disrespect, but we're talking about Leicester here, who are looking to spend £40 million. And that just goes to show that everyone's got money. And I just think we've got to be careful that, you know, you don't sort of set a precedent that we're willing to pay it. You know, that Swansea have sort of said, well, you know, if you want the player, then you're going to have to pay £40 to £50 million. And I just think other teams are going to look at that, because we're obviously still in the market for a striker. We're possibly still in the market for a centre-half as well. And you've just got to be careful that, as I say, other teams look at that and think, oh, well, here's Everton coming. They've got a few quid. You know, why not throw another 10, 15 million on top of it? But he's a good player. You know, the bottom line is that he's a good player. You know, the stats show last year he was right up there. Yes, he is overpriced, but who isn't? You know, at this moment in time, every single player at the moment is the price is ludicrous. And as I say, it looks like we're going to get the lad. He's a decent player. And I just think you're probably not going to be able to have to look at prices anymore, because it's just, if you take into account, as I say, you know, what players are going for, it's nuts. It's ludicrous. But you've got to play it, as I say. If you've got to pay it. If you don't, then someone else will, and you're going to lose out.
They've gone absolutely mad, haven't they? Jay, what do you think Gylfie Sigurdsson's worth?
Probably about £30 million, you know, tops, even in this market. I mean, the talk of £40-50 million, it's ridiculous, really, considering he's, what, nearly 28 years of age. But as Mickey said there, now football's gone absolutely crazy, and Manchester United started it last summer by paying £89 million for a show pony. You know, Paul Pogba's a decent footballer, but he's nothing special. You know, when you're paying that type of money, they've got to be a game changer and a match winner and, you know, maybe a goal scorer. I mean, Everton have just got £75 million for Lukaku there. That may rise to 90. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think Lukaku's worth that type of money either. But, you know, ultimately, he's a match winner. He's a goal scorer. What's Pogba? He might perform 10, 12 times a season, but he goes missing for 20. And they started it off. They set the ball rolling last summer, ruined it, really. And now it's just carried on this summer. And, you know, sums of money, like £50 million for a right-back, Kyle Walker, just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, he's a good player, but £50 million for a right-back, you know, Gylfie Sigurdsson, 45, 50, as we're saying there, it's just scandalous, really. But, you know, that's just the sign of the times, and that's football now, and you've just got to keep up with the times, haven't you?
Yeah, everything's inflated, hasn't it? And I think you made a great point earlier, Mickey, when you were saying that Everton might become tagged or have this label where other clubs see them and think, well, they're willing to pay extra.
Well, this is it, you know, they know that we've got, you know, £75 million plus burning a hole in our back pocket, don't they, from the Lukaku deal. They know, obviously, the investors at Everton have ploughed a lot of money into it, and, you know, we're sort of on a mission. And as I say, other teams are going to look at that. But unfortunately, you know, it's a seller's market. There's nothing we can do about it. As I say, mate, if we don't pay it, someone else will, and you can't stand still. You know, teams are moving. So, you know, if that is it, then, as I say, it's probably going to happen that we're going to have to pay, you know, inflated prices. But I don't think it's going to be just us. I think it's going to be everyone who's going to be paying way, way, way over the odds. But as I say, mate, especially over here in Great Britain, if you don't pay it, someone else will. So, unfortunately, we've got to do it.
And, Jay, you talked about the Virgil van Dijk deal a little bit earlier on. So you believe negotiations are back underway on that front?
Yeah, I do, yeah. You know, little things that I've heard on the grapevine. But, you know, as I say, he's another one, isn't he? I think Liverpool were hoping that we could get him for around 50 million this summer in terms of, like, flushing out the interest of City and Chelsea when he came out and said he wants to join Liverpool. And then it sort of, like, backfired, didn't it? Southampton were not happy about it. You know, reported us, and hopefully, like, nothing's going to happen over that now. You know, Premier League said they're not going to investigate it. And, you know, we are back in talks with them, but the only downside to that is I think it's going to cost us a little bit more money now. So you're talking around 60 million for Van Dijk. Whether or not players will be involved, you know, it's well documented that Sacco's available for sale this summer. You know, maybe even Joe Gomez could go out on loan, I don't know. But, you know, like I say, if Liverpool have to pay cash for this fella, you're probably talking around 60 million, 65 million for him. So, again, that's paying over the odds, really, isn't it? But, you know, like I say, Man City paid near 50 million for John Stones, didn't he, last summer? Now, John Stones can't even defend. So I don't really blame Southampton for asking for more money, because Van Dijk's a lot better player than John Stones.
Brilliant. Any observations on the Tranmere game the other night? Anything that stood out for you, Jay?
I thought Marco Grujic's goal was very good, and he looked good last pre-season as well, didn't he? And then he didn't really quite cut it in the season, never really got much of a chance, and then he got a bad injury, so we'd never seen much of him. But, you know, his goal was very good. I thought the kid's done really well, Alexander-Arnold, showing that he's got a massive future ahead of him. Thought Ojo done quite well, and second half, I think Kent done well as well when he came on. So, you know, there's a few positives there, but, you know, there's loads of players missing, wasn't he? There was no Coutinho, no Mane, no Lallana, no Salah. So, you know, there's plenty more to come, and we play Wigan tonight, don't we?
Steve Hoddesall's kick-off. This is Radio City Talk.